Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and with me in the studio, just sitting around, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. We're taking your phone calls today, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say, change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live here on this March 23rd as we crinkle our headphones there. That's the noise you're hearing. Don't adjust your dial. It's just us being us.
I didn't know
other
I was
people can hear that?
I didn't know I was crinkling anything.
I think so. So, hey, it's New Life Live. Glad you're with us. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. If you need help at any time, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We have a couple of things coming up. One is an Everyman's Battle workshop starting in 2 weeks. That's April the 13th. The week after that is our marriage workshop with Mylon and Kay, Dr. Dave Stoop, and Jan and me. It's going to be a great, great weekend. Mylon, why do you think it's going to be a great weekend?
Well, because we had a dress rehearsal a year ago in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be better than that.
Yeah, and people really responded.
They did.
Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of follow-up and to see that it really did make an impact. So
Here's the thing that was really great about it. What Dave and Jan and Mylon and Kay taught, you know, the couples, because the meeting is only couples, they go into 6 90-minute sessions with a therapist,
yeah,
and they work on everything they hear,
right,
and they work on the core presentation that brought them,
yeah,
to the event. So it's just a great opportunity for them to hear some great talks, at least yours are, some great, mm-hmm, talks.
Your and then, talks are fantastic.
And then to go into some hard work with some other couples. And one of the greatest things about being in a group is you realize, gosh, we're not alone. Most couples think that our situation is so unique, and it really isn't. Mm-hmm. So many. Don't you agree, Jill?
Oh, absolutely.
That there's so much pattern and similarities between couples, mm-hmm, patterns and similarities. So I'm just excited about it.
Me too. So if you're interested, you can find out more about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the marriage weekend, and of course we do Every Man's Battle every month. And
could I say something about that?
Yes, please.
I have sent clients where it's a couple. They, mm-hmm, come into my office, and the guy is struggling with pornography or sexual addictions of all sorts. And I tell them, look, I'll meet with you with your recovery if you'll bring your wife in and we work as a couple, and if you go to Every Man's Battle. Those are some of my prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had a guy come back that didn't say it was profound, life-changing.
Right.
It totally changed their paradigm, and it really helped me out on this end in the,
yeah,
counseling situation.
Well, when they've got that problem, to not have him go is kind of like working with an alcoholic who comes in after a binge every night before, mm-hmm, or drunk,
yeah,
during,
yeah,
the session.
Yeah.
You really need to get it taken care of.
Yeah. And for many of us guys, the sexual addiction issue started in childhood and adolescence, and we mm-hmm, never knew how to work our way out of it. And the world swoops us in and hits us every day with audio and visual sensations that keep us in that direction. And,
yeah,
unless,
right,
you have another way to get out of that,
well,
it's hopeless.
You've got to remove that obstacle to intimacy there,
it's
because
hopeless.
That's what it becomes.
And it becomes an obstacle to, mm-hmm, intimacy. So it's like it's just this hopeless thing for most men. It is every man's battle. So unless you decide to work on it, something's going to hang with you for a while.
Obstacle to Intimacy. The title of my new book, in a year or so, I'm sure. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your phone calls here today on New Life Live. We're so glad that you listen. Hope it's going to be a great day for you. Hope that something that we say can be applied to your particular situation. That's what we're here for on New Life Live.
I
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. We're going to go to Joel from Great Falls, Montana, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Joel. Joel, are you there? Well, Great Falls is a long way away. We'll try to get back to Joel right after this. Let's go to Sean. Sean's calling from Newberry, South Carolina. He watches us on the NRB network. Hello, Sean.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm blessed.
How could we help you today?
Well, Steve, I am saved. I have rededicated my life to God, but I don't want to give up secular music.
You don't want to give up secular music?
No. Nah.
So you really like Frank Sinatra and Frankie Avalon, and you'd like to continue to listen to them. I'm just kidding. I'm suspecting that that's not the secular music that you're talking about.
I'm talking about R&B and
yeah.
rap.
Yeah. Well, you know, how long have you been a Christian?
I got saved on June the 10th, and I rededicated and recommitted my life to God Saturday.
Okay. And, you know, some of the music is pretty good, and some of it is pretty raunchy. And are you saying that it doesn't bother you when the lyrics are just really profane?
It's just that I like listening to secular music because listening to secular music for entertainment. You know, it's not. You understand what I'm trying to say? I don't want to give it up because I like listening to it because it's entertainment.
Right.
You know, because entertainment, you know, it's something I like to do. I like listening to it because it's for entertainment and for other reasons too.
Well, have you thought about maybe saying that some of it's great and then eliminating some of it that's not so honoring of God?
What did you say? Repeat that again.
Have you thought about listening to secular music, but some of it that's really not very honoring of God, you say, okay, I can't really listen to that. I don't want to listen to that anymore because I want to honor God. But here's a song that doesn't have any really crummy lyrics in it. I'll listen to that.
Okay.
Be discriminating in your listening to secular music. Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
Sean, did somebody tell you that you needed to give it up?
Yeah, well, some people say that when you listen to secular music, you know, well, basically, I heard people say that. Some people say listening to secular music is a sin. Some people say it isn't.
Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Basically, some people say listening to secular music is a sin. Some people say it isn't, you know.
Okay. So one of the things, and it's good to get input, you know, being a newer Christian, but I would ask God to show you what's appropriate for you and what isn't. And to start to develop that discernment, because I think the more you move towards God, there's going to be certain things that make you uncomfortable. And that helps you to decide, okay, you know, what is something I should expose myself to? Because, you know, we become part of our environment. We, you know, whatever we take in, that is a part of us. So part of becoming a Christian, there is some sacrifice involved in it. But do you suddenly have to give up and change everything? No, ask God to reveal that to you. And if he puts that on your heart and shows you as you move along, then you'll know the choice to make.
Okay.
Mylon, you have any thoughts on secular music?
Well, I think it falls in line with secular TV, secular movies, secular everything. What do I let myself get into? The Bible says to be in the world, not of the world. So, and I have to create a distinction. The Bible says, I was just reading this morning in Second John, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So, you know, the fact that music and movies and music and TV are all affected by that, that means I have to be discriminating as a Christian.
Yeah.
And so I've taught myself, Sean, selective listening and selective watching. And if a song comes on by any artist that I might like, but I know it violates God's heart. It might not even violate mine at the moment because I'm a new Christian, but I know it violates God's heart. I'll just click it off. I'll just switch the stations. I don't do that with New Life calls, but I do switch the stations with other calls or with other music, and I just try and be selective.
Yeah.
And I taught my children that, and they're practicing that with their children that they're now raising.
Yeah. So, Sean, we're suggesting you be selective, discriminating, and asking God, to lead you in that area. But we're not saying give up all secular music. We don't give up all secular music, but... Mm-mm. But there are some differences in the kind of music that people listen to. What do you think of that?
Thanks. That kind of helps. You know.
Okay. All right. God bless you there. And let me send you a copy of my book, Walking Into Walls. I want to see if Joel's back on with us. Joel from Great Falls, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. And how can we help you today?
Okay, so I'm 35 years of age. I've never had sex. I'm single, except in my mind. Does that make sense so far?
I'm with you.
that was one of the best summarizations I ever heard.
Okay. So what's the question for us?
Okay, so, and I struggle with masturbation as well. How does one fulfill... Okay, so I'll say this first. So I think, anyway, I know what an orgasm is like, although I've never, you know, been with a woman. So how does one fulfill the sexual desire if, you know, being single?
Yeah. Okay, that's a really, really tough one. Let me mention a couple of things about sexual desire. In Every Man's Battle, we talk about sexual desire or sexual drive. And we talk about if you feed it with looking at every image that is a sexual image or is erotic, and there's a lot of erotic stuff that's just out there in the general public on billboards and commercials and all of that. If you look at all of that, you're going to end up with a sex drive the size of a sumo wrestler. And so that's not manageable. Those guys are big. So we talk about limiting what you see and view. Bouncing your eyes away from that and starving them of that. And what happens is the sumo wrestler comes back down to the size that is manageable. So the first thing that you want to do is be sure that you're not feeding it with the things that you look at online, in movies, on television, billboards, magazines, and things like that.
See, and I don't look at any magazines. I have in the past. I don't do any television at all, period.
Good.
I do struggle somewhat with internet once in a while. I can't do that at all.
Yeah. That's just one piece. Mylon, Jill, you have some thoughts?
You know, the Apostle Paul says, and I'm sorry to cut you off,
that's okay.
Jill. The Apostle Paul says, if we have a sexual urge, and he calls it burning inside, and some people don't have that, and he says that is an indication to you that you should look for a spouse, and he says the solution for that is to get married. And if you do not have that burning or that sexual desire intensity, it may be a sign that you are, in fact, a person that could be a celibate for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, I would ask you, you said, on occasion, I do look at some pornography. And so what does that mean, on occasion? Mm-hmm. How frequent is that?
Maybe twice a month.
Okay. Well, that's twice a month too many. because Steve's point is so well taken. If I feed that part of me on the inside, then it's in fact going to turn into a sumo wrestler, and it's going to be so big. And that piece is a piece you want to consider getting out of your life, and that is probably one of the most important things. The second thing is, are you doing anything to try to find a spouse?
No.
Why not?
I've always been afraid of going there. I don't know why though.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and that being afraid of that is part of what fuels then the sexual behavior in isolation.
That's a great point.
Right. So because there's no one to disappoint if you're by yourself. And you can be whoever you want to be. And images on a screen, you know, can make you feel good. And yet there's still a loneliness there and a hunger there. So I think when you feel that urge to act out, you know, to be able to look at what's underneath that. What are the feelings there that I'm afraid of? You know, here I'm settling for a false sense of closeness or intimacy or just a sexual release instead of having something much better. You know, it's really falls short of what God intended for it to be. And so to do some work in looking at, why am I so afraid of closeness with people? Why am I so afraid of closeness with a woman? And to maybe even start venturing out, you know, looking at your friendships, Joel. You know, what kinds of friends do you have? Do you have guy friends? Do you socialize?
Uh-huh.
You do?
Not the way I drive trucks, so that makes those things really hard, for me anyway, really hard. And I hope to quit that job in a couple of weeks, so I hope to be.
It does make it hard, but it's not impossible. And so I think it's important for you to have consistent relationships where you can be more real with.
Yeah.
Even on a friendship level, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And that's where that need starts to get satisfied.
And I would just invite you to work on the pornography problem first and really deal with that. I think that may take care of a lot of the lust part, but you have to do the other stuff to get into a regular relationship.
And I think if he was in town, whenever he is in town, whatever his home base is, if he found a therapist that he could go to, that whenever he's in town, he could call and pop in.
Right.
And he could say, let's talk about these fears. I guarantee you that something traumatic happened in the life of Joel at some point in time in something that was modeled to him. Something had to happen.
Right.
People have fears for reasons. So let's explore that, see what we can do with that. And I think that would be very important. And Every Man's Battle Weekend would be a fabulous choice for him.
It's where to go. It's what to do. Drive your truck there. We have people literally drive up and park their truck in the hotel parking lot and come in and do Every Man's Battle. All right, let's go to Catherine from Santa Ana, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, I have a question. I have a 14-year-old daughter. She's a middle child. She has an older sister who's 16 and a brother who's 12. And let's see, about 3 years, maybe 2 years ago, we found out that she was cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out when she was undressing. And myself and my husband, we talked. I cried. And we went to counseling at our church. At that point, at the church, my husband has anger issues, really deep anger issues. And he got some counseling. And after that, he didn't do anything. And then he went back into recovery once a week. Now he's in it and he's making progress.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she didn't get much from that. So we took her to another counselor through our insurance that covered it. She went to 2 sessions with the counselor, and then the counselor referred her over to a psychiatrist whom we saw today. And today, after a 45-minute session, I was in there and I was happy to leave. They wanted privacy. She prescribed her Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, and I also called your counseling or your New Life to get some counselors because I wanted a second opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you only use psychiatrists, not psychiatrist. So, you know, I filled the prescription. I have it with me. And I know there's some side effects that could, they said to watch that they may be sort of incidents of suicidal.
Okay. Attempt. So what is the question for us?
Does she need to, when you a child, adolescent cutting, do you need to be hit on medication?
Okay, we're going to tell you the answer to that right after this, okay? So you hold on, got to go to a break. And I think it's always a big question whether or not a teenager should be prescribed medication. And, you know, we work with both psychiatrists and psychologists and in referring people to folks that we hope can really help. And it's important that if you go to a psychiatrist, that it's a person that understands the latest developments in psychotropic medication. So we'll try to give some help in that area right after this. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com. We'll be back right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Catherine. Her daughter has a common problem. Have a 14-year-old, 15, 16, of cutting. It's sad that it's a common problem, but it is. And she wants to know if it's too young, too early for her to put her daughter on Prozac, which the psychiatrist has recommended. Mylan, Jill, what do you think?
Well, Catherine, I think that if the psychiatrist evaluated her and found symptoms of depression, which usually is hand-in-hand with cutting, that an antidepressant would be an appropriate medication. And if she's having any obsessional thinking at all, Prozac is a medication that is often prescribed. So I think, you know, what you want to do is get your daughter to a place where she can work on her problem. And so sometimes you have, if someone is really depressed, you have to kind of lift kind of the bottom of their depression up a bit. And a medication can do that so that she can talk more about what's going on. You know, what does the cutting do for her?
And commonly with that depression, Catherine, comes a level of anxiety or
right.
angst that is agitating. And cutting actually provides relief for that. It's like she's self-medicating with adrenaline, which mm-hmm. is produced when they do that. So
right.
what happens is you're – I like what the therapist has done by saying, I think after two sessions she needs more help than I'm able to give her. And like Jill said, let's let's pull the floor up a little bit so her feet can touch the floor. And then I would say, and I think you also, Catherine, made a very astute observation, your husband got a lot of help, and that's very important because mm-hmm. children and their emotional states are often a reflection of the parents. And so now that you've worked on that and your husband's working on that, and praise the Lord for that, all the great work you did, mm-hmm. I would also continue to make sure she gets the support she needs from this therapist to stay in that, stay in contact with the psychiatrist. And then I would also suggest she could even consider being in a group of with other people that mm-hmm. do similar
other
behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife has worked with young people over the years. And she's worked with quite a few cutters. And she has found an amazing success with getting them involved in working the 12 steps
mm-hmm.
and in recovery. Mm-hmm. And I, in fact, I've been quite astonished at hearing about phone calls where someone used the steps to not cut on a certain night after the mother was upset or whatever. And so I just say that getting her involved in a recovery group or a Celebrate Recovery or a New Life group might just be the thing that she needs. And then
kind
one day,
all three of those things,
yeah.
right? The group, the doctors.
The hey, Catherine, I have one more. Catherine, I have one more question for you. How anxious and agitated does your husband's anger make you?
Well, we're able to, even though he's like that, we're able to communicate pretty well.
Good.
So we've been married 20 years and we've been through a lot. So he kind of knows. And first meeting I went with him, but I think it does make me anxious. I let him know.
Yes.
Before
mm-hmm.
I didn't withdraw, I used
right.
to get in his face, but I learned to kind of take a step back now.
Okay. But see, now you're, and sometimes there's nothing wrong with getting in somebody's face a little bit. But see, now you're an adult, and so you're managing mm-hmm. at a certain level. And right. if you know it's hard for you, can you imagine how hard it is for a 14-year-old?
Right.
And
right.
and so that's what I'm saying. A lot of times the kids are simply a reflection. Their emotional states are a reflection of the family system.
Well, see, my daughter keeps saying that, Mom, you don't understand. It's not about you and Dad. It's just something I have constantly.
Well, that's what an unaware 14-year-old mm-hmm. would say.
That's a good okay. point, Steve. Plus, mm-hmm. Jill's point is, yes, there's a lot of gut going on, and she's ruminating, obsessing, and she mm-hmm. she doesn't know where to go with her feelings.
Well, and when you don't know what to do with what's happening at home, then when other things in life hit you, you have a hard time coping. There isn't
yeah.
room.
Your yeah. bucket fills up. Mm-hmm. Your coping bucket fills
right.
up.
Yes.
And
right.
then you go to something else. All right. Let me send you a copy of How We Love that might help you with the husband and the anger. And let's go to Linda in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
let me see if I can make my question short. I'd like to know if you can give me some idea what things might be causing you to have such terrible problems. Managing my time because
okay.
I can get up 2 hours early in the morning to go to something that's very important to me that I want to be early for, and I can still be late.
Mm-hmm.
I can set 2 clocks to remind me when to start getting ready for bed, and one when I need to drop everything and go to bed because I need to get up very early in the morning, and I can still wind up going to bed 1 or 2, even 3 hours later and not getting the sleep that I need. And the same thing, organizing anything else. And I can make to-do lists and then forget to look at them. I don't know why that is. And I listen to the program often, and I have heard you speak of something called time structure disorder. What can you tell me about that, and what can I do about it?
I know this
may sound very stupid.
No, it doesn't sound stupid
not
at all.
You may just say you need to be disciplined, but I try to be disciplined with that, and it's a problem I've had all my life.
Yeah, sure.
Probably since childhood, but especially since I was a teenager.
It's actually quite common.
And I have
common,
so many
Linda.
Distractions, I can be up till 2 in the morning, knowing that I have to get up at 5.
Yes, well, we're going to help you.
And we appreciate right you putting that in a
yeah.
short terse way.
This has been a wonderful weekend.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to San Jose April 20th through the 22nd.
I leave here with such hope for not only myself, but for my marriage and for my family.
Join Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken? And then we're going to redefine the roles of husbands and wives.
Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, how they manage stress or don't manage it well, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And Steve Artiber.
I'm going to start by presenting the five walls that prevent you from doing either of the things that you guys are trying to get people to do.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right. Okay, Linda.
Yes, I'm here.
Losing all track of time. And I don't know, Jill, you want to start with this?
Well, I may have a little experience in this area. although, Linda, I've never... Okay, you guys, stop laughing.
Okay. I was only laughing because Steve was laughing and you were laughing.
Yeah. I've never heard of time structure disorder, but we're thinking probably we mentioned it sometime.
Or Steve made it up.
But,
I think I made it up.
But Linda, it certainly makes sense. And what you're describing is a common problem. It's often characteristic of people, and sometimes this becomes a broad umbrella of attention deficit disorder, can be part of this. But in terms of dealing with it, I hear your frustration in how it seems like, almost like I'm hearing that you lose track of time in your distraction?
Yes.
Is that it? So
yes,
you
I lose track of time. For instance, I'll give you an example if there's time to do that. Is there?
Certainly.
Sure.
Because we're watching the time clock.
Right.
That's why we can say that.
I left an appointment at about 3:30. And went to a market just to pick up a couple of things, but basically to buy two money orders. So I went in and bought my money orders. I believe I bought one item. Went back to my car and realized I wanted to make copies of these money orders, and the market had a copy machine. I went back, made a copy of the money orders. I walked around the store. I thought for a few minutes. And if it's not too late to make it a short story, basically, I was sitting in my car, looked up, and it was 6 o'clock. I left the other appointment, which was just down the street at 3:30. I don't know where the time went. And, you know, so 3:30 and then 6 o'clock, and that happens to me all the time. And I don't know what happened to the time. Where did it go? And there were so many other things I needed to do.
Right.
And didn't get to do them. That happens very often.
Right.
And attention deficit disorder. I was diagnosed by a psychologist in my mid-30s with attention deficit disorder.
Okay.
I was never medicated. I didn't want to be medicated. But another thing that I'm sure is...
Okay.
So, Linda, okay, I can even see in our conversation here how you kind of go from one thing to the next, like one thought triggers another thought that triggers another thought,
yes.
And then
yes.
You
and I go off on tangents.
Right. Right. So you got the diagnosis, but you never did anything about it, okay? A
yes.
lot of people find...
There's more, though. I'll let you finish.
Okay,
and
a lot of people...
Something else I should tell you.
Okay, a lot of people find a lot of help from medication. It's not a cure-all, but it helps the brain to eliminate some of the distractions because it's like for people with ADD, it's like everything comes at you with the same intensity. It's like
yes.
hearing the static on, you know, a radio station or something, and it's just as loud as the person who's talking to you. So it's
yes.
hard to discern and screen out all these things, especially
yes,
when what you described. Right, what you described, you know, that meandering, everything was calling out to you with the same level of priority. Okay?
Right.
So you are telling me you've proven that you can't do this on your own. So medication would be one line of intervention, okay? When you can't structure yourself internally, you have to pull in some external structure to put in place to help you. And I hear you using alarms and things like that. But it may be more than just that because that's still under your control. So you need some help. You need a support system that you can start talking about these issues with. Maybe it's therapy, maybe it's a support group, where you start, you do some of the talking and you do some of the listening. There's a lack of priority that's happening here. There's perhaps
yes.
some resistance that you have. Whenever we gain something, like we make something a priority, we want that. We gain something if we go after it, but it means we have to let go of other things, and that means there's loss. So we have to deal with, okay, today we don't get to do these things in order to have what we want. So there's a lot of things that in talking through and seeing how does this distraction work for you, it's partly a brain issue, and it's partly the way you're organized, and that takes some teasing through with other people.
And it will fix your spending problem, too.
Yes, I have a lot of trouble managing my money.
Of course you do.
Mm-hmm. And there's, before I ask the other question that is, or tell you the other piece of information that's related to this, what do you mean when you say it's partially a brain problem?
Well, with attention deficit disorder, there are parts of the brain, primarily the frontal lobes, that when you're supposed to concentrate and focus, they actually shut down. And so if you're needing to really have that brain power and it's not there, that causes problems for people.
Hey, Linda.
Okay. And now the other thing I should tell you is several years after I was diagnosed, quite a few years after I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, I was then diagnosed with clinical depression and later found out that was a wrong diagnosis and they were giving me antidepressants that I should not have taken, which caused me to gain an extreme amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, I was finally diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Okay.
And so I am taking medication.
So you are taking
for
medication
that.
For that. Okay, and you're seeing a psychiatrist?
Yes, but not often enough, and I don't have insurance, and I don't have money
okay.
to pay one.
Okay, so Linda, some of what you're describing could, the loss of time could also be kind of a manic phase that you get into, where then there's a bit of dissociation
that happens.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That can happen whether I'm in the depressive state or at the other end of the spectrum when I'm manic. And I don't have episodes now that you would typically call mania.
Okay.
But it's almost
but
like
there can be a hypomania.
It's almost like you become another person.
I beg your pardon?
It's almost like you become another person and you kind of, that person kind of does what they want to do, and then you wake up and, oh, wow, here's reality again.
So Linda, to Steve's point, did mm-hmm. you ever have any traumatic experiences as a child?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay. And
there's a chaoticness.
Very much so.
So the thing I'm wondering is when you're a child and you have lots of trauma, the brain doesn't know how to organize mm-hmm. well. It doesn't organize around a secure system that allows it. It organizes around alarm. And so it doesn't organize around security. The other thing, though, I'm also wondering is if you ever found yourself as a child dissociating or going away from the trauma or leaving by, you know, going to a different place in your mind or finding yourself, as Steve said, not even aware that you're present and then all of a sudden at a certain time coming back again.
No, I've thought about that because I've heard about that many times over the years. I certainly was a daydreamer. I was always distracted okay. ever since I can remember, and got into trouble for it because I could never, I couldn't keep up with the other kids.
Okay, but see, here's a problem.
I was daydreaming.
You know, unfortunately, you got in trouble for it, and your chaotic home didn't mm-hmm. get in trouble for it. And I tell people all the time, you're not responsible for creating the jungle that you grew up in, but you are responsible as an adult to work your way out of it. And I love your questions. Mm-hmm. And I think I would definitely, again, back to, is there something wrong with my brain? Yes, the brain can be reorganized and through therapy to help reorganize your thought patterns. There's lots of different ways to help that.
Talking changes the brain.
Yeah.
Talk therapy actually does.
So,
now, I had one psychiatrist tell me, because I was talking to him about my difficulty concentrating and focusing and keeping track of time, and he said, I mentioned to him that, you know, I can sit in front of a computer, let's say to type a paper, I can sit there and type one paragraph in 4 hours.
Yes,
and
you know,
then realize, where did my time go?
Well,
I'm
going to tell you a practical thing that I think would help you, and most people have do you have a cell phone?
That's what I'm calling you on, yes, that's all I have.
Well, I think it doesn't hurt
to
set an alarm every hour
Absolutely.
On the cell phone, and you say to yourself, that alarm tells me, evaluate what I'm doing. Evaluate mm-hmm. what I'm doing. Is this what I really want to be doing? Is this what I set out to do from the very beginning? Have I gotten distracted? Am I off? Get right back on there.
You know, I've seen some people mm-hmm. get on some ADD medication and they say my life is immediately changed.
Yeah.
Because it's fast acting and they know right now whether it helps them focus or not.
You bet.
And it just may be really worth trying to figure that out as a first step.
Right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this with more of New Life Live. Stay tuned, please.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here.
Here I am crunching my headphones
again. Yeah, there you are. Let's go to Shante from Yorba Linda, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Shante.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I am hanging in there.
Okay, well, how could we help you hang in there?
First of all, just thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I am desperately seeking help. I'm 42 years old, and I am an only child. My dad died when I was very young, and I was raised by grandparents.
Okay.
And so I have, just from listening to your show several times, I know that I've really kind of developed some very bad behaviors because of my childhood and always seeking approval and seeking attention and seeking love in all the wrong places. And I still find myself, even, you know, being saved, still behaving in some, you know, in some negative ways that always end up, you know, they end up hurting me. And it's always relational. And
so you are you saying you get sexual with people and you don't want to?
Correct.
Okay.
And I want to stop. And I think that the reason why I don't is because I really don't trust God to bring, you know, that person that he has for me. And I don't trust him to be all that I need him to be, you know.
Okay.
In my life.
Yeah. What?
I feel like I don't know the Lord in the way that I should as far as, you know.
Okay. What if that was a rationalization to keep you from admitting that you're a sex addict?
It probably is, and I do believe that that is my problem.
Okay, because I think if you went to a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting for other women, you would find the support, strength, mm-hmm. and courage that it takes for you to have dating experiences that don't become sexual at all, where you maintain your objectivity and you say to some guys, forget it, don't call me, because that's all they're interested in. That's what I really think could change your life. Have you ever gone to one?
No, I.
But have you thought about maybe going?
I have, but I think that I'm just, you know, what holds me back is embarrassment.
Sure.
To try to search it out and.
Well, just go online.
Well,
Shante, and
sometimes
it.
There's women's groups. There's different variations of Sex Addicts Anonymous. There's Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times that group is about kind of relationship addicts and even romantic novels, the whole variation.
Maybe that's a better situation.
I think
situation
it's probably,
a,
yeah. Might be an easier group
sex
to
and
start
love
with.
If you just Google Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, and you'll find a place, and oh my goodness, there are plenty of meetings around where mm-hmm. you live.
Okay.
And you know what? You have nothing to lose. You go, you're only going to be known by other people with the problem.
Right.
It's a confidential group, but it just may change your whole dating life.
And everyone is scared, embarrassed, afraid when they first go.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those things where you have to face your fear and do it anyway.
Mylon has a couple of thoughts.
Shante?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your call. You have a great heart. You have a wonderful voice. You sound like a really quality person. And you're looking for a quality guy.
Right.
And the minute you give a guy sex, he'll stop trying to find you and seek and wonder who you are as a person. He'll stop exploring you as a person, and you'll never find the right guy. It's the backwards way to try and find mm-hmm. a good guy. The way to find a great guy is to say, you know, I'm not going to have sex until I get married, so do you want to date me anyhow? And you're going to get a lot of guys that'll just flesh out right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing. There's a whole bunch of people in this world that look to me as a dad in my office and at church. And there's a lot of neat guys out there that won't objectify you as a female and won't sexualize you and will see you as Shante, the sweet young lady mm-hmm. with a great voice, smart, intelligent, and will treat you like a young lady. And the more you get to know those guys, the more you'll get to see what kind of a guy is that I'm looking for, and the more you're going to get an idea of who your Heavenly Father's like. You'll actually have earthly models that will resemble God.
And here's an earth-shattering fact. God's not ashamed of you, Shante.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't see the sin of someone who lets Christ's sacrifice cover that sin. Do you have another point? We've got 3.5 minutes
no,
here.
No, it was just those two things.
Okay. All right. Well, Shante,
she needs a daddy.
Yeah.
And a church can provide that. Guys right. That won't objectify and sexualize yeah. her mm-hmm. and will see her as a neat lady.
Right. Yeah. And Shante, if you think about it, can you just, instead of, okay, having sex right away, I mean, we're saying don't have sex at all, but just think about, okay, I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to go out and not have sex the first time. And then the second time, I'm going to go out and I'm going to not have sex with them. And I'm going to see if Mylan's right. Mm. Mylan and Steve are right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really glad you called.
And Jill. I would
Jill.
Think you would think
yes,
the very
yes, yes.
same thing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to send you my book on love, sex, and relationship addiction. It's called When You Love Too Much. I'll get that to you. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Appreciate your heart. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call if you have difficulty or struggle controlling your limb movement that hits a microphone like Mylan just did. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. And
there's a limb movement 12-step group, maybe, you know, that I can get into.
LMA, Limb
Time
Movement
Structure
Anonymous.
Disorder Group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got all sorts of stuff today. Okay, now here we go. So we care about how hard you're hurting, even though we're not hurting right now. Okay. And then if you could help us, well, that would be really funny.
Okay, guys.
Steve, okay. You need to drink some more of that Red Bull.
They get yeah. each other
or
going.
Or is it Monster?
Yeah. Anyway, if you could help us, it would really help us. because you'd be helping us, see? So that's the
poor Steve.
Cool thing about it, is you'd be helping us. So if you can, you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. And I just thank the Lord for the gift of laughter.
Yeah,
and,
it's good medicine.
It really does come out when it needs to.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is we're just too close here to
way
stop.
Too close.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because we love each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't forget our marriage seminar coming up the weekend with Mylan and Dave, their wives. I'll be there. That's April 20, 21, and 22. We do Every Man's Battle every month. And to help you prepare for Easter, we have put together a Holy Week devotional sheet. And each day of the Holy Week is explained and supported with Scripture. So you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE to request them, and we'll send them to you absolutely free. And I hope that will be a great little devotional for you and your family. And then our webinar is on April the 16th. We have a webinar coming up with Dr. Sherry Denham and Shelley Martinkus. That's the wife of our Jason, who does the Everyman's Battle. And the title of that webinar is Betrayal of Sexual Infidelity, or Working Through the Betrayal. We love you. We care about you. And we hope and pray that God does something through this program to help you in your life. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.